Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. It is just gone 7:30, so as always, it's time to talk to John Giles. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So the big news today, the shock news, is that Zinedine Zidane is stepping down as Real Madrid manager after a fairly remarkable 2.5 years in charge of Real Madrid.
Yeah.
We'll get to that, but I do want to get your thoughts on the Champions League final first, because we haven't spoken to you since last Saturday's game, and it was a game that was remarkable in its own way. It feels hard to analyse the game tactically, as there were so many major talking points around it. I might throw some of them at you and get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Lloris Karius, the Liverpool goalkeeper,
yeah.
The first mistake when he rolled the ball off Karim Benzema.
Yeah.
Is that just a freak moment that can happen, or is that type of catastrophe always possible when your goalkeeper just isn't at the required level?
I think your second calculation would be on the ball there, on the mark, Nathan. You know, great goalkeepers don't do that. And I, over the history of watching the game, okay, they can make mistakes now and again. All goalkeepers can make mistakes now. But they don't make a mistake like the first one. And very, very, very few of the second one that he made. I mean, the fact is, this is not the first time he made mistakes, Nathan. He's made mistakes ever since he came into the Liverpool team. And I think it's generally been recognised by supporters, players, pundits, that Karius is not a good goalkeeper. And Mignolet is not a good goalkeeper. Certainly not of the requirement that a team like Liverpool needs. I mean, you're going into a Champions League final like they were in the other night. You can't afford to have a goalkeeper who's capable of making the mistakes that he made the other night. So I would put a lot of the responsibility down to the manager, Nathan, in that.
In that he didn't recognise the problem earlier and go out and spend 30, 40, 50 million pounds and get a better replacement?
Exactly. I mean, he's been there for 2 years, and you know, to have two goalkeepers like that, in obviously you can make a mistake at any time. I think it's actually irresponsible of him. Now, I have a lot of time for Klopp as well, Nathan, in that the way that he plays, there's an excitement about it. There's an attractiveness about it. It can be very, very good with the players going forward and scoring the goals that they score. It can be absolutely brilliant. But you have to be realistic. And I think with Klopp, in terms of defending, he's not realistic. I think he honestly believes they're going to attack for 90 minutes and they're going to score loads of goals. So therefore, there's no emphasis then on defending.
Mm.
Particularly bad goalkeepers, Nathan. You just can't get away with that. You know, I had an experience at Leeds. I played with a goalkeeper called Gary Spraker, made loads of mistakes and cost us a lot of trophies. So you can't carry, you can't carry any players when you're going to be champions, but particularly dodgy goalkeepers. Goalkeepers should be saving your matches, not costing your matches. I mean, good goalkeepers won't lose your matches. They might not win your matches, but they won't lose your matches. Great goalkeepers actually win your matches. You look at De Gea and Ederson now playing for Manchester City
Ederson at City and Petr Cech and players like that.
Yeah, they save your matches. And you could see that this Cech, when he was playing with Chelsea and Arsenal, actually save your matches. You can't afford to have a goalkeeper that loses your matches. Now, I think it's been obvious to a lot of people, and I'm repeating myself now, that Karius hasn't been good enough. Mignolet is not good enough for a team to be going on winning trophies, especially for Liverpool and any of the big teams. And again, some of the stuff he plays, I think, is very exciting. It's very good. But there's too much emphasis on what they're going to do and not enough emphasis, hardly any emphasis, in my opinion, on defending in a way that champion teams should defend.
Mm. Do coaches then often have a blind spot when it comes to goalkeepers? Because you mentioned Gary Sprake. From what I know, he was pretty much there the entire time Don Revie was in charge. So
he wasn't there all the time. He was there for the first 4 years, I think. After that, maybe a bit longer, and then he was left out then for a long time.
Did you feel at that time, though, that almost the goalkeeper was undermining the team, that there was a nervousness amongst players in the team because you simply couldn't trust the goalkeeper?
Oh, definitely, Nathan. definitely. I think there are different circumstances all the time. It goes why managers do certain things, and I think with Don. Don was having a bad time when he first took over manager of Leeds, Nathan. And he then took a gamble and put a good few young lads in. Paul Reaney, Paul Madeley, Terry Cooper, Sprakey, and one or two other players. And they did really well for him. And Sprake played very well in the early part of his career. And for some reason, I think he lost his nerve. And Don, I think, was being loyal to him. And too loyal to him. Don wasn't really realistic enough to leave him out at a time when he should have done. In fact, he left him out when we played it, well, a very big match in the semi-final of the Cup at Sheffield against Birmingham City, when he left Sprakey out that morning, and he never got back into the team again.
Wow.
We had a goalkeeper called David Harvey, who was a solid goalkeeper. He wasn't a great goalkeeper, but he didn't make mistakes. He didn't make silly mistakes, Nathan. So he then played for the rest of the time. So, you know, different reasons why managers stick with certain players. I don't know why Klopp sticks with Karius or Minelay for that particular, or either of them. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, it's definitely wrong.
A lot was made of the Liverpool players not going over and sympathising or putting the arm around Lawrence Karius on the full-time whistle. He cut quite an isolated figure for a couple of minutes. Is that just professional football, that at times when you're devastated, you sit there, you wallow in your own devastation almost, or is it possibly a sign of a greater issue?
Well, it could well be. It's unusual for players not to console players who have made mistakes. I mean, I played in a team and made mistakes. Missed a penalty, I'd get consolation from the players. I don't know what the background is there, but there were rumours afterwards that I heard or read that he was a bit of a flash character anyway. He mightn't have been putting it in on the training ground, so he mightn't have been popular with the players. And I think an attitude could be, well, you got what you deserve. You're not putting it in, you're not putting the work in, and that could be the case.
Mm. So that actually it is simply a case of the players have no sympathy, that you've cost us, ultimately, a Champions League medal.
Well, if he was a hard worker, and he was really dedicated to his game, Nathan, and he made a mistake like that, you would get sympathy. The point I make, and I don't know, I'd say there would be a lot of scepticism among the players anyway, that he wasn't putting it in, he was a bit flash and a bit big-headed. And to be quite honest, why he stayed on the ground, Karius, after the match, I do not know, Nathan. I think if I was in that position, I'd get off the pitch as soon as I possibly could and get away from the Liverpool supporters. Actually stayed on the pitch and went to the Liverpool supporters at the end. Did you notice him doing that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he went over and put his hands up and apologised to the Liverpool supporters.
Pitch. The Liverpool supporters didn't want to have anything to do with him.
Mm.
Got him off the pitch. But I'd say that my experience with players, if you're a genuine player with the players and you make a mistake or you miss a penalty, they would console you. If you were a bit big-headed, a bit flash in that, they'd be less likely to do so. And I think that would be the case there.
Sergio Ramos was another big talking point out of the game. He sort of floated between being public enemy number one and been the pantomime villain over the past week. Where do you stand on the tackle on Mo Salah that ultimately ended his game? Do you think he went into that challenge with the intention of injuring Mo Salah?
I don't think he would go in with the intention of injuring Mo Salah in the way that he did. I think there was a bit too much made of that it was like he was a judo man and he caught him around the leg and he pushed him down and he knew he was doing the damage to his shoulder. I don't believe that. But when you're playing against an exceptional player like Salah, when you're in his vicinity, if you can get a hard tackle in, Nathan, you'll do it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Not on Mo Salah, but on anybody, but Mo Salah particularly because he's been scoring so many goals and being such a terrific player this season. Of course you would. It wouldn't have to be the centre-half that's doing it. You know, if you're near a player of his stature, well, in my experience, most players would get into a heavy tackle with him.
We've had this debate about lots of footballers in recent years, and Liverpool fans should know it well because it came up about Luis Suarez at times, about pushing the boundaries, about potential cheating at times, and whether the end justifies the means. And Sergio Ramos is questioned a lot, but ultimately, he's one of the most successful players in the history of the game. Four yeah. Champions Leagues, a World Cup, two European Championships, La Liga titles, one of the great defenders. Do you look at him and think, actually, yeah, he's everything you want in a footballer?
Of course. Of course. He's a centre-half. He's got to get stuck in. There's a physical element to the game, as we know, Nathan. And if you can intimidate an opponent, you'll do so. And don't forget, in this way, he might have been a horror to the Liverpool supporters. You ask the Real Madrid supporters about him. I guarantee you, after that match, he was a real hero to them. Just as a Liverpool centre-half, if they got stuck into their Ronaldo and he had to go off, he'd be a hero as well. That's the way it is in the game. I don't think Ramos set out to break his shoulder or damage his shoulder. I'd say he definitely got stuck in to intimidate as much as he possibly could. But I don't think he'd be good enough to be able to pick out a certain tackle or tackle in a certain way to do his shoulder. I think that was exaggerated. But most centre-halves, if you have a centre-half who doesn't get stuck in, you want to know why, Nathan, as a fellow player. Or that's what they're there for. That's what's, defenders. And all players are there. If you can get 11 players on the pitch who can get stuck in and get stuck in a real way, that's what you want. That's the game.
Does it, in a way, touch upon what has made Ramos so great? That actually, you look at Mo Salah this season, an almost unprecedented season in English football, the form he brought into the final, that Ramos looked at that situation and thought, actually, I'm going to go for him. I'm not afraid of this guy. I'm going to get close to him. I'm going to get involved in a wrestle. Because there is a risk there that actually Salah just uses his pace, just gets away from him, leaves him for dead.
Yeah, it's all part of the game. When you're sitting in the dressing room and you know you're playing against a terrific player, that's what you say. Look, you can't give this fella any room. We've got to get stuck into him. You can play a lot of players, you get stuck in, they pack it in, Nathan. A lot of other players don't, but you want to try them out. That's part of the game. Like, he's a centre-half, he's got to get stuck in. If he doesn't get stuck in, you'd be saying, what are you big fancy Dan of a centre-half? You got to get stuck in there. This is the game. I'm not saying all centre-halves go out to injure people or break people's legs or that. I don't think Ramos went out to break his shoulder or crack his shoulder, but he certainly went out to get stuck into the tackle. All players, you have. If you get every player, you want every player doing that, not just the centre-half.
I get the sense he's the type of player you wouldn't have minded playing alongside.
Of course. What do you get with how you judge players, Nathan? If you hate playing against him, then you really want him to play with you. And you respect him, the opposition. You know, if you're playing, when I was playing against a fella, I played against Peter Story, he was a bit of an animal playing, he used to mark me. But I didn't like him, but I admired him. But he was good at what he did. And he was going to get stuck into me, and I was going to get stuck into him. Never said a word to each other. Just do it. That's part of being part of the game. In every way, you have to do that. If he could put me out, I was a skillful player. If he could put me out of the game with heavy tackles and that, he'd be a hero with the Arsenal fans and the fellow players.
Yeah,
my job was to get back at him.
Probably quite noticeable as well that we haven't heard too many of the Liverpool players actually raising any issue with what Sergio Ramos did during that game.
It's part of the game, Nathan. You know, they'd admired. They might not like the Real Madrid player, nobody did, but they'd admire him. So, I wish we had somebody doing that, you know?
Just before we get on to Zidane and Real Madrid and winning three in a row then, I said it's hard to judge tactically, but Liverpool must look at the result and look at the performances of some of their key players, particularly the defence, Dejan Lovren, the level they got to, and still they couldn't win the game. When Mo Salah went off, was that the turning point in the game, that suddenly that outball that maybe made Henderson and Milner and Wijnaldum in midfield look like better players, that was gone? Was that ultimately the turning point?
No. No, definitely not, Nathan. I think it was a turning point. It wasn't good for Liverpool. But the goalkeeper didn't have to let in two easy goals. Whether Salah was on the pitch or wasn't on the pitch, he did that. If he doesn't do stupid mistakes like that, they're still drawing the game 1-0. So you can't legislate for that. Of course, it was a bad point for Liverpool that Salah had to go off as an outstanding player. But the goalkeeper didn't have to do what he did because Salah was off the pitch, Nathan. You know, it reduced Liverpool's chances. And no, but they didn't have to lose the match. Actually, it gave the match away.
Yeah.
You know, Madrid didn't have to win the match because Salah was off. The goalkeeper gave them two goals. So whether, if Salah was on the pitch, he probably would have done the same thing anyway. But because Salah's off the pitch doesn't mean he has to do it. He should be a hero. He should be saving them, not giving the blooming game away. that's what happened. You can't do that.
John, stay with us. We're going to take a very quick break. 53106 is the text number. We're going to talk about Zinedine Zidane's departure from Real Madrid next. You're welcome back. John Giles is still on the line. So, John, a bit of a bolt from the blue today. Real Madrid called a press conference for midday with Zinedine Zidane, where he came out and announced that he is leaving the club. And what a job he has done over the past 2.5 years. 3 Champions League trophies, a La Liga title, a Spanish Super Cup, 2 Club World Cups, 2 European Super Cups. There's a way to go out, there's a time to go out, and he's probably picked the moment.
Oh, definitely, Nate. And he's done a great job. I always thought he was a reluctant coach, to be quite honest. I mean, he seemed to be happy to me when he was in charge of the junior team. And it was as if he was forced into it at that particular time. No, not forced into it, but... Certainly wasn't chasing the job. Mm. And what I think would influence his decision now, because on the week before the actual game, there was talk about whether they were going to keep him or sack him.
Yeah.
That's what I found incredible about it. And I think he'd be in a position, having done what he'd done, I'd say he would be a financially secure individual. I don't think he had any great ambitions to be the coach of Real Madrid, although he did a terrific job. I, to be quite honest, in many ways, I'm not surprised, Nathan. I think he's thought, well, I've done my job now. I've done a really good job, and I could be under threat. He could be under threat of the club, you know, Nathan. You never know at Real Madrid. I'm getting out of this now while I'm ahead of the game.
Well, I thought his press conference was very interesting today on that, where he seemed to be very honest about some of the issues that they faced this season, particularly in the league, which I know you've touched upon over the last few weeks. He said, listen, maybe it's a mistake, but I do feel it's time. If I don't think we can keep winning, then it is time. How can I ask more from these players? Big players, they need a change. If I was the manager here next season, it would have been tough for us to win trophies. You saw in the cup this season, and I can't forget our domestic campaign that easily. Yeah. It seems to be a real honesty there of actually...
I didn't actually see that statement, Nathan... I think it was you told me before. Well, I saw it, I heard today he was gone, but I didn't see any statement. And I think that sums it up for him. I mean, this is an intelligent guy who's been a great player. He's done a great job for Real Madrid. You know, why? And I think also they are on the slide, Nathan. I don't think they weren't great last week against Liverpool by any means. I mean, the game was given to them in many ways. So I think he would recognise he's having trouble with Bale, we know already. Is Ronaldo not as good as he used to be? He would have to face all those problems next year. Whereas at the moment, he gets out, having won the Champions League and other trophies, as you said there, in the last few seasons, with his reputation totally intact, and he can leave it behind him.
He's one of the greatest players of all time as well, and has followed it up then in management. And as you say, you would have to assume is financially secure, that he doesn't need to go and take another job if he doesn't want one, maybe an international job at some stage, maybe a big money gig at Paris Saint-Germain may take his fancy as time goes on. It's strange though that with 3 Champions League trophies in a row, he doesn't get the plaudits that say a Pep Guardiola got. Is that down to the style of football that maybe with Guardiola's Barcelona team at their peak, he sort of transformed the way we looked at football, whereas Zidane's brilliance seemed to be actually in somehow cajoling all these Galacticos, these geniuses, into producing it on the pitch at the same time?
Yeah, well, whatever way he did it, he did a brilliant job doing it. You couldn't dare question his record in any way. Winning 3 European champions on the trot, for example, that's history, which was absolutely brilliant. But don't forget, he was a junior coach of the juniors there for a few years, and seemed at that time to be happy doing it. I don't ever remember making a play for the job when the job was available with other coaches there before him. He seemed to be happy doing what he was doing, Nathan. So I don't think he has this great ambition to be one of the great coaches, although his record is very, very good as a coach. But I don't think he had the ambition to really stay in the game like Wenger did in 20-odd years. I don't think he ever had that. And I think he's sensible enough to recognise this team needs rebuilding. They definitely need rebuilding, Real Madrid. So I'm happy to get out and do and live my life in a way that I want to live it. I don't want to be in football all my life, as some of the people do. I don't think he's like that. I think he's a man who will go his own way, do what he's done, and be satisfied with his life.
When you look then at what they've achieved over the last three seasons in the Champions League, what's the one thing that stands out about this Real Madrid team?
Well, they had outstanding players, Nathan. I think the players are getting older now. I don't think Modric was as good. I think Ronaldo might be on his way out. A few other players are not quite what they were. But they had great players. I mean, look at Bale, for example. It cost them 80 million. And he couldn't get in the team. He wasn't picked in the first 11 with Zidane at the last weekend. And that's an 80 million pound player. And scored the goals that he did, a spectacular goal that he's capable of scoring. You know, but I think they're going to need some rebuilding. And I think Zidane knows that. And I don't think he's up for that, Nathan. Mm. I mean, they finished, 15, 16, 17 points behind them.
17 behind Barcelona, yeah.
You know, that's not Real Madrid. And I think they are on the wane. And I think he recognises that and doesn't want to be part of the rebuilding programme that could ruin the record that he has now. I mean, he can go out with his head held high. One of the great managers. Nobody else has won the Champions League three times on the trot. I mean, the old Real Madrid team, when it was first the European Cup, actually won it five times on the trot, the first five times it was there. But that was a knockout competition. It wasn't a league like it is today.
Yeah.
So,
you
know, you have to give him full credit for doing what he did.
Speaking of rebuilding, and we'll have to keep this tight enough, we can chat a bit more about it over the coming weeks, and I feel we've spoken about it a lot already. Ireland playing the USA on Saturday night. They were beaten by France 2-0. Did we learn anything new about Martin O'Neill and maybe where Ireland are going over the next couple of years?
Well, we learned that the way it was the other night, it's not good enough, Nathan. I think when you're playing a rebuilding, as Martin O'Neill has to rebuild now, actually, you're better playing, say, if you're bringing, I wouldn't bring any more than three new lads in at a time. Now, I know there's been injuries end of season and all that, but I would pick the first eight of the best players you've got, along with three newcomers, and tell the newcomers before the match that whatever happens, you're not going to be taken off. You're going to play the 90 minutes. So you actually learn something from the new guys playing with the established players. Because if you put a lot of new players in together, Nathan, it's not fair on them, because they should be, the better the players you play with, the better chance you have of playing yourself. So give the three lads a chance to do it. Whereas the other night and the Turkey's match, there's loads of changes. You know, it was three at the back against Turkey. So I didn't learn anything about the Turkey match looking at it. Not that I have to learn. And I didn't learn much about the players the other night. And that's what these matches are for. Because they are sort of practice matches. But you have to be learning something from them. I mean, all I hear is, well, we didn't hold the ball enough and we didn't do this, we didn't do that. But, you know, you've got to pick the team and give the new lads a chance. And I think the other night, you know, there was too many changes and the lads didn't really get a chance against a very good team, you must remember. But these are practice matches, but you've got to be learning from them.
Yeah, so they made six substitutions during the game. There were a whole host of players at the start. What you'd actually like to see is three, four players play the full 90 minutes and maybe keep two or three of those players for the USA and give them another 90 minutes.
Exactly. So you're learning something from it, Nathan. You know, you're learning, and the better the players, you see, we had enough fairly regular players there to play, start with eight of them the other day. And put whatever three new lads you have, put them in. So they're playing with the experienced players. Now you can see what they can do with the experienced players, right? And you guarantee before they start, because all lads come in and are nervous. But in my opinion, if you say to them, look, you go out and you play, do your best, you're going to play for 90 minutes. Regardless of how you're playing, I'm going to keep you on for 90 minutes. Rather than players going to think, oh God, I have to perform here, I have to do some. It's extra pressure on them. And I think you could well do without it. And then the next match, and then you'd learn with those three players, what can they do with the regular players? You know what they can do. And then the next match, you can put two of them in again or three of them in again and confirm what you think you've learned in the previous match. So you're learning all the time. And the more matches you have, the more you're going to learn. But if you're putting six and seven players on during the game, I don't think you're going to learn anything, to be quite honest.
John, great to talk to you as always. We won't talk to you on the phone next Thursday. We will meet you in person because you're going to be joining us in Vicar Street for our live show next Thursday night in association with Boyle Sports.
Looking forward to it, Nathan.
Yeah, so we've got a brilliant night lined up. Myself and Kev are going to be hosting. We're going to have John with us as well, a special Euro 88 panel, Ronnie Whelan, Kevin Moran, and of course the man who put the ball in the England net, Ray Houghton. And we've exclusively announced today as well, we're going to be joined by three Celtic legends as well. John Hartson, Alan Thompson, and Jackie McNamara will join us at Vicar Street. We're going to look back on their run to the UEFA Cup final in 2003 and chat about Martin O'Neill as well. You can get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events. John, thanks a lot for talking to us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Nathan. Bye.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.